Hi, this is Anne Merchant, and welcome to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academy of Sciences, the National Academy of Engineering, the Institute of Medicine, and the National Research Council, collectively known as the National Academies. The ways in which human beings are affecting the planet is of intense interest today. It's a theme that plays out in movie plots, it's grist for the internet mill, and it's the topic of scores of front-page news stories. Entering the term environmental crisis on Google generates close to 52 million hits. But of the multitude of ways that we could be harming the planet, one in particular has largely been overlooked in this national conversation. Scientists, though, warn that we ignore the pollinator crisis, the decline in the proverbial birds and the bees, along with a bunch of bugs and a handful of animals that carry pollen from the male to the female parts of the flower, at our peril. In her hugely influential book, Silent Spring, published more than 40 years ago, Rachel Carson recognized the central role of pollinators. Carson painted a bleak picture of a world with fruitless falls. In the intervening decades since her book was released, reports have quietly, but steadily, accumulated from virtually every continent of shortages or even extinctions of pollinators. About three-quarters of the world's flowering plant species rely on pollinators for their survival. Without them, somewhere around 180,000 different plants simply could not reproduce. And there's now very direct and compelling evidence that entire pollinator species are disappearing across North America. Ironically, despite its lack of marquee appeal, pollinator decline is one form of global change that actually does have credible potential to alter the shape and structure of the terrestrial world. And while the disappearance of pollinators isn't likely to inspire a rash of Hollywood disaster films, tidal waves, floods, fires, and explosions will always remain inherently more cinematic than just about anything involving flowers, birds, bees, and butterflies. Discussion and action are essential if we are to avert disaster. Across the United States, beekeepers are reporting a loss of 30 to more than 70% of overall beehives. Aside from making honey, honeybees are essential for the pollination of tens of millions of dollars worth of cash crops all over the United States. Apples, blueberries, cherries, cucumbers, almonds, peaches, pears, and all kinds of squash depend on insect pollination. Alfalfa and clover, crops that are used to feed the animals that supply meat and dairy products, also require bee pollination. 7 of the 9 crops that provide at least 50% of the vitamin C available in the human diet depend partially or entirely on animal pollination for the production of fruits or seeds. That means that oranges, cabbages, green peppers, tomatoes, melons, tangerines, and watermelons are all at risk. Indeed, almost all of our fruit, vegetable, and seed crops, as well as some of the crops that provide fiber, drugs, and fuel, require pollination. And pollination is also essential for maintaining the structure and function of a wide range of natural communities across North America. Experts are calling this alarming phenomenon colony collapse disorder, or CCD, where bees are leaving their hives in droves, never to return. Are environmental conditions destroying the bees' navigation system? Is it a fungus, a virus, or some variety of microbe or pesticide that's at work? No one really knows, but many experts think that the phenomenon is tied to recent stresses on the bees. Because honeybees play a critical role in spreading pollen so that plant fertilization can occur, the effect of a decline in the number of bees out there doing this job is that we could see fewer crops making it from the fields to the grocery stores to your dining room table. As stories of this pollinator crisis have crept into newspapers and been discussed in television news stories, the public has begun to take notice. Questions now abound regarding what's happening and what can be done to address the problem. Charged with determining whether, and to what degree, pollinators are experiencing significant declines, identifying the causes of these declines, and detailing the consequences in both agricultural and natural ecosystems, the National Research Council was asked to make recommendations on research and monitoring needs and on conservation or restoration steps to prevent, slow, or reverse the potential decline. This turned out to be no easy task. The National Research Council's work was complicated by the fact that there's an extraordinary paucity of reliable data on pollinator populations. This dearth surprisingly applies even to the honeybee, a species that is in effect a six-legged livestock that both manufactures agricultural commodities, like honey and wax, and more importantly, contributes agricultural services, like pollination. Although economists differ in calculating the exact dollar value of honeybee pollination to American agriculture, virtually all estimates are in the range of billions of dollars. It's difficult, in fact, to think of any other multi-billion dollar agricultural enterprise that is so casually monitored. That colony health is not regularly assessed is a serious deficiency. Bees in America have been beset of late. Colony collapse disorder is just the most recent of a seemingly unrelenting series of devastating problems for the beekeeping industry. Introduced parasites and pests, microbial diseases, pesticide drift, and competition with Africanized honeybees have all contributed to reductions in colony numbers. Experts estimate that if honeybee numbers continue to decline at the rates documented from 1989 to 1996, managed honeybees will cease to exist altogether by the year 2035. So what do we do to avoid this disastrous outcome? First, it's critical that we concentrate on improving our information gathering techniques for the beekeeping industry. It's also important that we do everything we can to encourage innovative approaches to protecting bee health and improving genetic stocks of bees. Investment in honeybee research has hardly been commensurate with the economic importance of this species. New funding should be made available to rapidly expand the now limited pool of investigators addressing the gaps in knowledge of honeybee biology. At the moment, many investigators in the Colony Collapse Disorder Working Group are donating their own time and money to solve this problem. Such altruism, although befitting the social behavior of the honeybee, is not sustainable long-term. The National Research Council also believes that it's important for the U.S. Geological Survey, the Fish and Wildlife Service, and other agencies responsible for natural resource protection to establish discovery surveys for pollinators of rare, threatened, and endangered plant species. Land managers and landowners, including farmers and homeowners, should be encouraged to adopt pollinator-friendly practices, many of which incur little expense. Public outreach is key to pollinator protection, conservation, and restoration. Pollinators should also be included on the endangered species list so that they and their habitats can be protected. That hasn't happened so far for a couple of reasons. The first is that Congress directed that listing of species required a scientific determination of its continued existence as threatened or endangered. But data on many pollinators are inadequate for such a determination. Second, a 1981 congressional revision of the Endangered Species Act specifically exempts any species that would be considered to be a pest whose protection under the provisions of the act would present an overwhelming and overriding risk to man. Some caterpillars and carpenter bees, for example, can cause or have the potential to cause damage. This means that some pollinating species aren't likely to receive protection. Ensuring the safety and security of our national food supply is an explicit national priority. Although it's generally discussed in the context of vulnerability to attack and disruption from beyond our borders, food security may well face a greater threat from within our borders. The overly optimistic, deep-seated conviction that pollinator resources will always be available. The honeybee was critical to the success of the earliest European colonists of the New World. The English immigrant William Blackstone's efforts to grow apple trees in New England in 1623 were unsuccessful until honeybees were also brought over to provide the necessary pollination. Four centuries later, American farmers remained dependent upon this insect to produce their crops. Beyond agriculture, pollinators are crucial to maintaining the quality of American life. They serve as keystone species in most terrestrial ecosystems in that the services they provide allow most plants to reproduce and maintain genetic diversity. Phalanxes of economists devote many hours to estimating and calculating our energy reserves, but there has been no comparable effort to calculating our pollination reserves. Human technological innovation has not, in most cases, replaced or even improved upon animal pollinators, and it's unlikely to do so in the immediate future. The birds and the bees remain an essential fact of life. As long as plants depend on pollinators, so will people, and it behooves us to shepherd them wisely. The Committee on the Status of Pollinators in North America was chaired by May R. Barenbaum, the Swanland Professor and Head of Department of Entomology at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. For more information on pollinators in North America, you may contact the Board on Life Sciences at the National Academies. Their phone number is 202-334-2187. Ask them about their new interactive pollinator wheel, which has been developed by the National Academies to raise awareness of the importance of pollination and to help home gardeners make their yards pollinator-friendly. This wheel is an innovative, countrywide effort to help stem some of the pollinator declines described in the recent report on the status of pollinators in North America. You may also read the full text of this book online at the National Academies Press. My name is Anne Merchant, and you've been listening to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academies, advisors to the nation on science, engineering, and medicine. Be sure to visit us at our website at nationalacademies.org, where we have more than 3,000 books and publications available full text to read free online.